I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Moro Casino, American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline.
We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything. So Washington won again tonight, and they're 8-2 in their last 10. It's even longer than that. Mafia said it's like 12-3 and 15, something like that. And their lead is 3 games over Toronto on the outside looking in. So Toronto's 3 back, and then Chicago's 3.5 back. And then that's it. Nobody else has a chance. And the bottom line is that they beat the Pacers, and now they're a half game behind them. So Washington's a half game out of the 9. But what's the difference? If you're the 9 or the 10, you're still playing each other in the play-in. And then Boston and Charlotte have the other 2 slots. Miami is in the 6. With a 1-game lead over Boston, and Atlanta won tonight. They beat Portland. They're a half game ahead of Miami in the 5. The Knicks are going to win, and they'll stay a game ahead of Atlanta. But they're going to be 37-28 if they win this game. I mean, there's 5.5 minutes left. They're up 101-94 in Memphis. And we'll see if they can hold on. Bottom line is they've led this whole game. So we'll see what they do. And in the West, so here comes Memphis all of a sudden hitting a big shot, and they're down 5, and Tibbs calls a timeout. So Phoenix and Utah are tied atop the West. Denver's in the 3, by a half game over the Clippers in the 4. And then it's just forget about it because no one's touching the top 4. They're already clinched and in. And then Dallas and the Lakers have the same record at 36-28. They're both, 10 back, but that's the 5 and 6. They're a half game, the Lakers, ahead of Portland. Portland lost tonight. So the Lakers really need to win tonight. The Lakers are 3-7 in their last 10, and they've lost 3 in a row. It's truly unbelievable how badly they've played. It really is. Their lead is a half game over Portland. If they lose, it'll stay the same, right? If they win, they'll move ahead of Dallas by a half game, I'm pretty sure. And then Memphis is 3 games behind Portland. They're losing right now to the Knicks. Golden State has the same number at 13.5. They're both three behind Portland. And then San Antonio's a game behind the Warriors. And then the only team that has a chance is the Pelicans. They got their ass beat tonight, which I can't even believe. I watched that game. I had them. It was one of my top plays. It was my top play. I did well in every other game, but I got burned on that game. The Warriors kicked the Pelicans' ass tonight. So they're three games back, the Pelicans, of the Spurs. Three games back. Now, as far as those games, I mean, 123-108 is you're getting your ass beat at home in New Orleans at the Smoothie King. They just got worked by Curry. Curry had 41, and Draymond Green had a triple-double. He had 10 points, 15 dimes, 13 boards, and there you go. They handled Zion Williamson and the Pelicans. Zion had 32, Ingram 19, and that's it. Nobody else did jack. Curry with the 41, Wiggins had 26, Green a triple-double. Toscano Anderson had 14. Jordan Poole had 11. They got everybody. Bazemore had 9 and 8 boards. The Warriors finally look good. They have not played well lately. They played well tonight. That Hawks game, 123-114, Hawks over the Blazers. We welcome in our radio affiliate, Sirius XM, Mightier 1090 in San Diego. Don't forget, we're on satellite on Sirius XM channel 204. Mightier 1090 in San Diego, near Tijuana, do you wanna? Sports Map Radio Network, Sports Byline Radio Network, Armed Forces Radio. It's Pharrell on the Bench with Mafia. 844-843-6879 is the number to get on the bench. Dame Time in the loss had 33. McCollum had 20. Melo had 14, including three threes. Powell had 15. So there you go. Hawks. Bogdanovich had 25. Gallinari had 28. Young had 21. How about Bogdanovich and Gallinari tonight? Hit 7 threes each. 14 threes from those two. They were 20 of 41 from downtown. The Hawks shot 48% from three in the game. That is huge. And that Wizards score over the Pacers was 154-141. Washington won it.
Look, we're not saying all the other sports talk networks are backwards, but we're pretty sure they all have a favorite Hee-Haw episode.
Get on the grid.
Hee-Haw. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
All right, Pharrell on the bench. Randall's got 23 tonight and four threes for the Knicks. They're up 106-98 with 3:16 left. Alec Burks just got rolled up on by Ja Morant on his ankle. He left the game. I didn't think it was really bad, but it was bad enough that he was limping, and he left the game. So we'll keep an eye on Alec Burks. That guy can score, too. I mean, he's had a lot of big games for the Knicks. In terms of, he's got 9 tonight, but he's 4 of 7 from the floor. He only took 7 shots, hit 4 of them. I mean, the guy can flat out play and score. He had a nice floater in the paint with one hand. He just held the ball in one hand and made the shot. It was unbelievable. Even Clyde was amazed at the shot. So anyway, I told you the Wizards won 154-141, and Westbrook had the huge game. 21 boards, 24 dimes. That's crazy. And then the Magic beat the Pistons. Doesn't even matter. Jazz at the half leading the Spurs 60-43. I just want to know when they're going to get Spida back. That's really all that matters. Right now, Bogdanovich has 17 in that one. Gobert has 12 and 8 boards. Clarkson's got 12 in that game. The Jazz, 46-18, up 60-43 on the Spurs. That Sixer lead in Chicago is 101-92 with a minute left. So the Sixers are going to win that game. come hell or high water. And the Nuggets lead on the Lakers is 3 with 3:24 left in the second. And in that game, the Joker's got 11 points. McGee's got 8 points, their backup center. And then Davis has 14 on 6 of 10 shooting for the Lakers. Nobody else is doing jack. So, I mean, it's unbelievable to me how they've played. It really is. Because when they got him back, when they got Davis back, everybody thought that they would win. And they didn't. And then they got LeBron back finally last week. And now he's already out again. I mean, now he aggravated the ankle. I don't think he literally re-injured it, Mafia, but he, let's just say, jeopardized it in some capacity. He definitely tweaked it or something happened because he's not playing tonight. And you can call it whatever you want, aggravated, re-injured, tweaked it, whatever. It's still a Lakers team without LeBron in the lineup. That's what it really is. And with only, whatever it is, 8 games left, they can't afford to have this guy out of the lineup right now with their situation in the 6. It's very precarious, as we discussed earlier. Do you think it'll be their downfall? I mean, I've always said on Coast to Coast and Pharrell on the Bench the whole season, I've said, because everyone and their brother, there isn't a person out there that didn't think that the Lakers were going to repeat, that they were just going to win it all, no problem, hands down, best team in the league, it's a wrap. Everybody else is playing for something else. They're not playing for a championship because the Lakers are going to win it. But I always said, even, you know, when Davis first went down, I started saying it, if they lose either one of them, if they lose Davis or they lose Melo, if anything happens or to LeBron, if anything happens to LeBron at all, they're doomed. And that's just all there is to it, because I don't care what anybody says. I know people love to talk that they're legit and that they have all this depth and that they're this great team, but I'm not a buyer at all. Like in Drummond, Pope, Caruso, Morris, Harrell, Matthews and Horton Tucker, even McLemore. I'm just telling you, I'm not buying it. It's a two-man team. That's all there is to it. And I don't deny that LeBron makes those guys all play better. When he's playing and he's healthy, he makes them, you know, they won a championship. I'm not stupid. But without him, or Mafia, with him injured, let's say, you know, right now he's probably 60%, right? With him injured and banged up, and I mean, I think Davis is healthy now. I think Davis is actually, what I'm seeing from Davis tonight, he's got 14, is a guy that's still trying to get his cardio. He seems behind the play. He seems like he's dragging and he's a little bit gassed and tired, but he's still able to produce because of how big he is, how long he is, and how he's able to get position and get good looks. But on the other end, like running and playing the other end in transition defense and everything else and setting up shot back at the other end, he's behind the play. Now, I saw him have a block tonight from behind. He blocked a guy from behind at the rim. But because they're in L.A., because they're at Staples, there was no call. But he fouled the crap out of the guy. He bashed him in the back, not only in the body, but in the head. And there was no call. It was a foul. That's as sure as I'm sitting here. And my point being, it's because he was behind the play. He got the block, but he fouled him. No call. But I'm telling you, anyone that saw that knows that was a foul. My point is, he was behind the play again, gassed, and didn't have that breath, that cardio. So I think he's in better shape than LeBron is right now. But you can't tell me, and you've heard me say it a million times, Mafia, that if they lose either one of them, they're not winning the championship. They're not winning it because the rest of that team's not good. They're just not as good as everybody in L.A. and everywhere else thinks they are.
Right, I agree 100%. And, you know, it's not even, you know, you have LeBron back. He's going to come back for the playoffs. It's not like this guy's going to sit out. But as he said, you know, before he came back, I'm never going to be 100%. And even 100%, not 100% LeBron, you know, in some respects, yeah, it could be okay. He could still get by. He could push through. The guy's always gotten through these big injuries and led teams But it's just not going to be enough right now, the way that some of these other teams are playing, the way that Utah and Phoenix are playing. You know, Anthony Davis is getting back on track, but like you said, he's got to get himself back. You see that in every sport. It's not just basketball. You know, how many times you see in the NHL, you know, they send the guys down for conditioning, or MLB, and they got to go, you know, send them to these alternate sites to, you know, get themselves back into game shape. You know, hockey, when they're first coming back, and you know, they got to get your legs, you got to get your wind, whatever term you want to call it with any sport. You can't just be out and then come back in and be like, all right, I'm all good to play. No. You have to get your cardio, your game flow, the rust knocked off,
everything.
All these things. So that's what he's finally getting to do, and that's what they were hoping to do with LeBron by bringing him back here these last 2 weeks. But now if the ankle's banged up, sure, it's not going to be something that, you know, it's re-aggravated and he's never going to be able to play again. But obviously going to take chances. You're not going to take chances with back-to-backs. But still, if it's not 100%, he's slower. He, you know, can't get that conditioning himself. What's that going to do to them? And it's not just them either. You got Schroeder out for the next 2 weeks with, you know, health and safety protocols. So that's their third guy on the team. So, you know, everything just seems to be going wrong for them these last 2 months with injuries to their main players. And these other guys are nice pieces, but they're not ones to carry the team. They cannot have LeBron out, even AD, you know, in there with all these other guys. It's not enough to carry them in the West against all these other teams if he is not at least 75 to 80%.
So he obviously, and the Lakers have a lead now on the Nuggets, 41-40 with a minute 20 and rolling in the half at Staples. So he has said he complained about the play-in games. And I said today on Coast to Coast, the reason he's complaining about the play-in games, and once he said, whoever thought that up should be fired. And I'm just so sick of hearing this guy, honestly, with his opinions about everything. They ask him about beach volleyball. He comments about Formula One racing, politics, fashion, music, the weather. I said today on Coast to Coast, he's doing the Weather Channel now. Like, I mean, I'm not surprised at anything. He's running, what company isn't he running? He's running every company in the world. Whenever there's a problem in the world, Bitcoin, they go to LeBron for advice. It's hilarious to me. It really is. I'm not one of these guys that says ever that guys shouldn't voice their opinions about whatever they want. But I get sick and tired of, I really do. I'm sick and tired of LeBron on everything. It's just one guy. That's the only person that, I mean, this guy, he tweets in the middle of like chick basketball games in the NCAA tournament. I'm like, Jesus, dude, what do you have to do with this besides nothing? But him crying about the play-in's a joke.
My buddy's a fan of yours in Vancouver, Canada, so he hears you crystal clear. I thought I'd let you know that.
Time after time, I sit and I wait for your call.
All right, so... Yeah, I wanted to at least look at these. The Knicks won that game, by the way. They beat Memphis tonight. They beat their ass in Memphis. No questions asked. Rose had 25. Believe me when I tell you, you may not buy it. 118-104 was the final. I mean, they slaughtered them. The Knicks mean business, dude. They are a good team. They play selfless basketball. They move the ball. They find the open man. They kill doubles and... You double-team anyone on that team, and you're giving up buckets. That's all there is to it. They find the open man and finish, and they play defense against the two and the three ball. They're the best defensive team in the league against the two and the three, and that's just all there is to it. Thibodeau's done a hell of a job with that team. The Knicks are no joke. You do not want to play the New York Knicks. You do not want to play them in any time. Now, toward the end of the season, these last eight games, or in the playoffs, you do not want to play them. Although I will say, when they hooked up with the Hawks, that was a wild game. 137-127 in overtime. That was a wild game. If that game is indicative of what it could be like in the playoffs in a series, I mean, bet the over and be ready for some overtime, because I mean, they went toe to toe for the entire game, the game I watched. And then the Knicks blew them out in the overtime. They had a chance to win it on a last shot with Randall, and he held onto the ball too long, never got the shot off, but they blew him out in the overtime. And if they play him, which is right now, I think that that's the deal in terms of it's still the 4-5, and I don't think it's going to change. Now, I mean, Atlanta won tonight. They only have a half game lead over Miami, so they could lose that lead. I like, I'll be honest with you, I think the Knicks have a better matchups against the Heat than they do against Atlanta. Capella gave him problems. Trae Young gave him problems. Herter gave him problems. And Collins, that's a good team that can match up well with the Knicks. I'm not buying Miami. I know that Miami's in. They're going to be in. But the reality is, I said it today on Coast to Coast, I don't think they're the team that we saw last year. And I think the reason for that has been, for me, is Hero. He's fallen off on that team. Last year in the bubble, they had Hero going every single night, and Robinson and Bam and Butler and Dragic, and they had Crowder. This team does not have Crowder, and Hero has not done anything. And that's the difference for me. They are not a team. Frankly, I'll be honest with you, straight up, Miami, no one's afraid of you. I mean, you're the six. Right now you're in. Good for you. But no one's afraid of the Heat this year. And I think that's the bottom line. So anyway, Mafia, tonight in hockey, I mean, crazy stuff happened tonight. First of all, I mean, everybody had to get roasted on that Penguin Flyer and the Islander Sabre game. So the Penguins lost 7-2 to the Flyers in Philly. The Flyers kicked their ass. And the Sabres in Buffalo beat the Islanders 4-2. I can't believe either result, to be honest with you. Claude Giroux had a couple of goals and an assist. Gostisbehere had a goal and an assist. So there you go. Kevin Hayes gave Philly an early lead, made it 1-0, and Gostisbehere on the power play, 2-0. Giroux, 3-0 from Couturier and Konecki. All I know is then it was 4-0 on an Allison goal. Crosby scored to make it 4-1. Then Zucker on a power play, 4-2. But then Farabee, Giroux again, unassisted. And then Hag, 7-2 Flyers. No one saw that coming. At least I didn't. And I'll tell you, the reality, though, is in terms of the East, Washington and Pittsburgh are tied with 71 points because the Capitals won tonight. Then the Penguins at 71. Boston at 68. They passed the Islanders. The Islanders are the fourth team right now with 67 points. The four playoff spots in the East are done. The Rangers, Flyers, Devils, and Sabres are out. It's over. So it's Washington, Pittsburgh, Boston, and the Islanders. That's the bottom line right there. As far as Carolina, Florida, Tampa, and Nashville. So Nashville's lead, they're the only team that hasn't clinched. Their lead is 4 points over Dallas for the last playoff spot in the Central. Toronto lost in overtime tonight to Montreal. They have a 10-point lead over Edmonton. Winnipeg and Montreal are tied with 57 points. Calgary's 10 points out. Bottom line, Toronto's clinched. The others haven't, but it's going to be Toronto, Edmonton, Winnipeg, and Montreal. There is no way Calgary's catching Montreal or Winnipeg. 10 points down with this is the last week of the regular season. So that's going to be over with this week. And then Vegas, Colorado, Minnesota, and then that's in the West. St. Louis is the four, and they've been playing great hockey. Arizona's 5 points behind them. And St. Louis has just been absolutely killing it lately, and they got that last spot. But the only ones that have clinched are Vegas, Colorado, and Minnesota. Now, as far as tonight, the Wild were down 5-3, I think, in that game, and they came back and beat the Vegas Golden Knights 6-5. And it was. So Brodin scored with a minute left, 26 seconds after Kaprizov had tied the game to help the Wild beat the Vegas Golden Knights. They were down in that game 5-3 after a Marchessault goal. And then Fiala made it 5-4, 10:49 into the third. Kaprizov tied it with a minute and a half left. And then with just over a minute six left, Brodin scored from Foligno and Greenway to win it 6-5 Wild. That was huge. The Blues won again tonight, 3-1 over the Ducks. The Panthers beat the Stars in overtime. By the way, Tyler Seguin came back tonight after missing the entire season, and he scored a goal. But Barkov, the power play winner in the extra session from Weegar and Yandle, Barkov, the winner, 5-4 Panthers get it done in Sunrise. The Senators, I told you today on Coast to Coast, I said the Senators and, you know, the Red Wings, in my opinion, over the last month and a half have played incredible hockey and deserve recognition, even though they both suck. They played great hockey over the last month and a half. The Senators beat the Jets tonight 2-1. I am totally fading on the Winnipeg Jets. I don't care. They're in the playoff, but I'm not afraid of them at all. All they do is lose. That's the bottom line. Leafs, Matthews had a goal tonight. He's incredible. I think that's number 39. And he, you know, it was an amazing goal. I don't know if you saw it, Mafia. He scored on a redirector in front of the net at 17:21 of the second period from Thornton and Musin. And it was his 39th. And the guy deflected it out of the air, like waist high, and literally was facing the wrong way. He was facing the, it was facing the shot from the point, and his body was the other way. And he reached back with his stick in midair and hit it down and bounced it in. The goalie never had a chance. He never saw it. It was an unbelievable deflector, but they still lost the game. Daniel scored. With a minute left, with at 19:08, he scored from Suzuki and Petrie. Petrie's 27th assist. And then Caulfield in overtime. Cole Caulfield, Suzuki, and Petrie again on the assists. Petrie with 28 dimes, Suzuki 25 dimes. And then how about they had multiple assists. Toffoli on a power play goal tonight from Petrie and Suzuki. I mean, they had an incredible night, those two, Petrie and Suzuki. Meanwhile, they just give Caulfield the number one star because he scored the winner. Suzuki, three dimes. Petrie had three dimes, doesn't get any love. They gave the other star to Matthews because of that redirector. But Montreal beats Toronto at the Bell Center. That's a huge win for the Canadiens. And then the Predators in overtime beat the Blue Jackets in Columbus. And the winner was from Roman Josi, from Howla and Yarncroc. Josi, 3:24 into the extra session. They were up 3-0, but then Bemstrom twice, three times. He scored three in a row. The Natty in the third period, a power play goal, his third goal, the natural hat trick, three goals in the same period. Tied it at threes. The other, the third goal at 15:07, and then in overtime, Josi for the Predators breaks their hearts in Columbus. So I got to, you know, at some point, like Columbus, they're not going to the playoffs. They lose every night. I mean, at some point, don't you just fire him, Tortorella? You're just going to keep him around forever. They never get it done. Playoffs, they make it. They still lose.
Players hate him.
Now no playoffs, and, you know, they're not going, so unless I'm crazy, they're in last place. They're definitely not going. You're in last place now? I fire his ass. I got to be honest with you. I really do. I'll tell you what else happened tonight on the ice. There's games going on right now. We come back on a bench.
These days, it's hard to find something you can trust. Your car?
Yeah, right.
Trust takes time. And that's why we're here.
24 hours a day.
7 days a week. We are your trusted source for gaming odds.
And more.
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
All right, Ferrell and Avinash with Mafia. I don't know. I seriously, like, I'm not a fan of his, Tortorella. But, I mean, and I know they've made the playoffs a couple years in a row or whatever. And then now they're in, you know, dead last and in that division. And they're not going to the playoffs. I mean, at some point or another. All right, so you go to the playoffs. You make the playoffs. And you lose every time in the playoffs. And then you come back this year. And you're as bad as they were. I mean, let's face facts. They were 16, 25, and 12. They're awful. I mean, literally, they're one of the worst teams in the league, points-wise. Mafia, do you fire him? Do you think, like, at some point, somebody in that front office or ownership has to say, like, you know, we're paying this guy all this money to win, and he's not getting it done. I mean, they're actually going backwards. They went playoff, no playoffs, last place.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they do. I mean, not only – this is a guy that constantly is in a situation where he comes to a team. You know, he's there for a couple of years, you know, maybe even 5 to 7 years maybe at most, and then he starts pissing people off. He starts alienating players. He starts – you know, that hard-ass mentality that he brings in that, you know, turns the team around for a little bit, eventually starts wearing on guys, whether it was Tampa, whether it was New York. Eventually, these guys get sick of it. You saw it, especially this year, come to a head where you alienate the star player in Pierre-Luc Dubois. They end up trading him. You bring in Line A from Winnipeg. And even if the guy's there like a week, you're already benching him. I mean, it's just a situation where he just – I know you don't want to, like, cater to these guys. You don't want to be too much of a, you know, player's coach, and you'll never get that from him anyway. But at some point, it's like, dude, you're not a drill sergeant. You got to, you know, have a little finesse with these guys as well. He just doesn't have that. So I think at this point, Columbus, bro, you're not getting the results, so you wore out your welcome.
I mean, he is a D, and he comes across as a real asshat. And I think at some point, everybody's sick and tired of his act. And I can't stand him, the way he treats people and the way he treats the media. I mean, he has a real bad relationship with the hockey media. I mean, every guy I know hates him. There's no one I know that likes him. And he is a nasty SOB. And you know what? I you know, if I'm paying that guy all that money, which they are, I got to tell you, he's got to go. He's just got to go. You're going backwards. Everybody hates your guts. The players can't stand you. I'm sure the other coaches don't like him either. I'd be willing to bet my life on it that working for him is like a nightmare because he's such a D. And then I think at some point or another, you just have to you know, you're in dead last. You're obviously going in the wrong direction. Just end it. Just end it. And I got to ask you this question. So David Quinn, you know, talking about Wilson crossed the line by injuring Panarin. He injured him in that fight tonight. He body slammed him, pulled his hair, punched him a few times. He got a 10-minute misconduct, I said earlier on the show. But at the end of the day, you know, the Rangers also are out of it. They're done. Now, there's a lot of bright spots, and they have a lot of talent. And we've talked to a lot of people like Denny Bernstein and whoever else, the Golden Muzzy, whoever. Everyone thinks the Rangers are going to be really good in a couple of years, that they're going to be playing for, you know, an Eastern Conference final or a Stanley Cup final. There's a lot of people that think they're so loaded with talent. Kako and Lafreniere and, you know, Zibanejad is a badass, Buchnevich. They have a lot of talent. Do you believe that they need another coach to take them to the next level and that they'll fire Quinn?
I don't think they'll fire Quinn because he hasn't been around long enough. I think they're going to give him the benefit of the doubt. I think it's to the point where they're getting to that next level, and if they take that step next year and they get the playoffs, become, you know, contenders, or at least are tough out for the second round or so, as long as you're making the progress, I think they'll keep him. If now next year or the year after you don't take that next step and you don't make the playoffs or you're out in the first round, then they'll get rid of him for someone who's more seasoned and someone who can handle these guys better. But he's done a good job working with these young players and getting them to the point they're at, so they'll give him that benefit of that doubt, I think, until he doesn't take that next step forward.
They're 26 and 21, so I'll at least give them the credit that they have a winning record. I think they're a decent hockey team, but
yeah, your boy Denny said it last week. I mean, honestly, if it wasn't for that 9-game stretch where Panarin was out because of the BS, you know, hack job on him, by that Russian paper. Who knows where this season is? Maybe, you know, if they, instead of going 3-6, they go 6-3, and then you're still fighting for a playoff spot, if not in one.
Well, they also had Panarin back, and they just lost 3 in a row, and that pretty much sealed their fate. So they had all these wild swings of failure in between their really good play. Like, they can beat anybody, but they have I think they're inconsistent. Even though they have a winning record by 5 games, I think that they're inconsistent. There's some people that would say, and I agree with you, I think he should stay. But I think there are people that would think that, you know, if they really want to take it to the next level with all this talent that they have, they need to get a big name coach. And he's certainly not that. But I think that he's done a fairly decent job with what he's got and he's had to deal with. And then, you know, King Henrik's decline. And then he left the team, and he's had to, frankly, you know, at some level, deal with these two average goalies. Let's face facts, right? They don't know whether they're coming or going. But I'm not excited about either one of them, like jumping up and down about either one of them. But to lose King Henrik and see him fall off the face of the earth and leave and go to D.C. and then have his heart problems, whatever. But I think that was a thorn in his side. He couldn't, you know, it wasn't his fault that his goalie was getting old and starting to wash out. But I think that he should get another crack at it. And next year, if they don't make the playoffs, he'll be fired. I think that because they're loaded with talent, they should be a playoff team. All right, let me tell you what else happened.
Not to be a cop-out, but I think part of it this year, too, is because of the way the pandemic made the league operate. Because if you didn't have these swings that you're talking about, when you got to play the Islanders 3 in a row, or you got to play Boston or Washington, that's when you all of a sudden have a losing streak. If all of a sudden that's broken up by playing the Senators, and the, you know, the Canadians and the Arizona Coyotes, that can make things a lot different.
Yeah, there's no doubt. All right, so the Canes beat the Blackhawks 5-2 tonight, and then the Bruins shut out the Devils 3-0. The Bruins clinched the last playoff spot tonight at Jersey. They got it done. Bergeron a goal and an assist. Richie scored. So the Bruins get it done and clinch. The Sabres beat the Islanders. Now that is clearly Michael Hauser stopped 34 shots in his NHL debut in goalie. Sam Reinhart scored twice. Buffalo's 3-goal third. That was the difference. They were down 2-1 and they lit it up for 3 in the third. Reinhart had 2 of those goals. So early on you had, it was 2-0 Islanders. And then after 2, it was 2-1, and then the Sabres had the big third period. No one saw that coming because the Sabres suck so bad and the Islanders are tough, but they lost tonight in Buffalo. The Sharks, believe it or not, are upsetting the Avalanche right now in the second period, 3-1. I can't even fathom that the Sharks are winning, honestly. Kane, Hurdle, and Kane, the 3 goal scorers. So Kane's got a pair, 21 and 22. The bad guy, Evander Kane, troublemaker. Hurdle is 17th. Rantanen, the only goal for Colorado. I'm convinced, I don't know, it's just me, the goaltending, whatever it is, I'm still convinced Vegas is better than them. I really am. I'm convinced that Vegas is better than the Avs. The Oilers 4-2 on the Canucks after 2 periods in Vancouver tonight. You've got JT Miller with a goal for Vancouver. Cahoon, McDavid, Barry with the goals for the Oilers. They also got another goal early, a 1-0 goal. Then Schmidt tied it up 1-1. Nate Schmidt tied it up. And then Barry gave the Oilers their lead. McDavid again, unassisted. McDavid's 30th. Miller made it 3-2, getting the Canucks back in the game. But Cahoon scored, made it 4-2 after 2 periods. He scored at 19:15 of the second period. So they'll go to the third, up a pair of goals. And the Kings lead the Coyotes in Phoenix 3-2 after 2 periods. Dvorak gave Phoenix, you know, Arizona had the early lead, 1-0. Moore tied it for the Kings, unassisted his 10th. And then the Coyotes went up on a power play goal, made it 2-1, and then Kopitar and a power play goal by the Kings at 13:40. Iafallo scored, made it 3-2. Kings lead it 3-2 after 2 periods in the desert. So there you go. That's the deal with hockey. And then as far as baseball goes, there's a lot of action going on there as well. Now the Dodgers and Cubs got rained out. They're going to, I think, play two tomorrow, I'm guessing. And then same thing, Giants and Rockies at Coors postponed. Their makeup date is tomorrow, and I'm sure they have games scheduled tomorrow anyway. The Cardinals beat the Mets 6-5 in a wild game. Mafia, that game was 6-5 after the third inning. And
yeah, it was.
Nobody scored after that.
Yeah, spigot just turned off out of nowhere.
6-5 after the third, and then nobody scores another run. Can you even believe that? Twins 6-5 over the Rangers. I hit the Cardinals, hit the Twins. Phillies beat the Brewers. We were talking to Bill Michaels tonight about the first place Brewers. They lose tonight in Philadelphia 4-3. In the sixth, Seattle up 1-0 on the Orioles. You know what's crazy? The Orioles really suck, but they're in every game. Have you ever noticed that? They gave the Yankees fits. They're in every game. They lose, but they're in every game. They lose by a run every night. It's crazy.
They've heated up lately. I think Harvey's won 3 in a row.
I mean, it really is unbelievable. Like, they give the Yankees fits, and the Yankees always had them as their whipping boy. The A's lead the Jays 5-3 at the Astros in Oakland in the bottom of the seventh. Runner at first, two outs. A's up 5-3 on Toronto. The Rays are up 5-0 on the Angels. Boy, did that bet go down the drain when Ohtani got scratched. I was on Ohtani tonight. And then right before, you know, we were on Coast to Coast on TV, and Carver, I goes, they scratched Ohtani. He's not pitching. Meanwhile, it was like my top play. I was on the Angels tonight. And then sure enough, that was the end of them. And then the Indians lead the Royals in the K, and it just ended. 8-6, Indians win it over the Royals. And then the Pirates and Padres are in the sixth inning, going to the bottom of the sixth at Petco. No score. How about that game going on? No score. The Pirates have used 3 pitchers in that game, and nobody scored. And then, Anderson's the only pitcher. San Diego's used 3 pitchers in that game. San Diego had Diaz, Stammen, and Adams pitch. And then the Pirates, no score there. Anderson pitching for them. So good game going on between the Bucks and Padres. I was talking to Scott Miller today about Tatis, and the records he's breaking is phenomenal. I also told him I'm going to go out there July 29th. I think it's a Thursday night. They're playing the Rockies. I'm going to go see the Padres and Rockies that night for my birthday. Come hell or high water, I'm going to go to that place. They got great ice cream out in left field. I ate like 9 cups of it the last time I was there. Such a badass. He just absolutely is a monster in the block.
I just want to feel my burger finger up.
You're so money and you don't even know it.
The Lakers lead the Nuggets 58-56, 4:50 left in the third. I told Mafia, and I think I said on C2C today on TV, we'll see you there tomorrow at 4 Eastern. I was on, I golfed yesterday with Haro, and I had a blast. I played at the Woods, a great, fancy, high-end, highfalutin country club outside of Manhattan. It's called Manhattan Woods. Place is kick-ass, and the golf course is just brutal. It's a really good, just magnificent, meticulous golf course. Incredible, and just a great experience every time I go there. I'm really good friends with a member. And he has me out there, and he's like, yeah, bring your friends, let's go. So Haro went out there with me, my buddy, Vinny Fuego, a guy who plays basketball with me and Mafia. He's a golf fanatic now. He blew out his knee, so all he does is golf. And he's pretty decent. He's gotten a lot better since he started than when he first started. I played with him when he was a beginner. Now he's hitting the ball pretty well and playing pretty well, and he dedicates. He goes to the range a lot. But I had a lot of fun, man. I am just crushing 2 irons off the tees on 4s and 5s. And I'm playing irons. I don't even play woods. I have no confidence in woods. They're too loose, the shaft, too whipped. whip, you know, clubs that whip and they move and they, you know, blah, 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 blah. I don't like all that. I like stiff shaft golf clubs, like irons, hard, you know, 2 iron, 3 irons, 4 irons. I can just crush the living shack out of the ball. And I'm getting it. And once I get down from a wedge in and around the greens, that's where my problem was. It's not off the tees. It's not long fairway shots or even a hybrid. I can crush the golf ball. My problem is from a buck 30 in, getting the distance down. I'll fly to green by 10 yards. It sucks. But I got the itch again to play golf more and more. I'll see you tomorrow at 4 on Coast to Coast. Great job, Moff. Good night, everybody. Peace.
Moro Casino. America's Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.